Hi Nick, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thanks Martin. How are you?
Excellent, I'm really good, yeah. Really good, thanks.
Great.
Still
what have you been working on?
Oh, yeah, usual stuff. Been busy with the freelance project, had a bit of a peak, and we went live on the 24th of May. So, yeah, that was a bit of... That's after the last podcast, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm not being mad here. Yeah, so that created a bit of a peak of work, but obviously, but that went... touch wood, seems to go okay. So yeah, that's going all right. I've still got another month's worth of work on that, because there'll be another month another release probably at the end of June, July time, so it's still ongoing, but it's good to get that out of the way.
Excellent.
Yeah, so other than that, mainly working on the kids club stuff, which is going okay. I've been doing my marketing hour that we spoke about last time. I switched from cold calling, which I was doing mainly before, to actually trying to get information out to people and doing demos. So I've done one demo for another local authority, which went really well, and they really liked it and they really want the system. But the problem is that the whole payment integration thing, they've got another problem of this local authority payment integration system, which charges them money just to sort of sign up to it. So that's the problem there, and we're both investigating from our different angles ways we can get around that. So that's a hopeful, but not that promising at the moment.
Can they not just use Stripe or whatever normal things are?
No, they can't. I mean, the problem is that obviously the councils have a central bank account that all the money goes into, and they need to be able to identify where the money's come from. Now, I guess they've got all sorts of rules and regulations and things that stop them from using random instances of Stripe, you know, so they can't all just have different Stripe accounts going into the same bank account, because they need to be able to split it up into cost codes as much as anything else. So if this club took, you know, a load of orders one day, that would appear in their account as a lump sum, and they need to know to allocate it to that club. That's the sort of problem that they're having. So I don't know, it's ongoing, so we'll see how that goes. It's just, I think it's going to be a long play before that comes through. The good news is they really like the software, and they could definitely see the benefits of it, so that's encouraging.
Excellent. So they have like one central bank account for the whole of the council, like a county council then?
Yeah, it looks that way, yeah. Obviously, they didn't go into too much detail, but that's basically how it works. All the money goes into the one bank account, and then it's split up appropriately according to cost codes.
Right. That sounds a nightmare.
Yeah, it does. Well, some of the ways it's happened for them in the past is that literally the council would get dumped a lump sum, and they'd have no idea where it came from, and so they'd have to ring around the different departments and find out.
Jeez.
So it's crazy, yeah, it's crazy. But that went pretty well, like I say, and I've got another demo next week, which came out of the cold calling. And I mentioned it last time, I think, where I've got to prepare a document listing the features and so on for somebody who's asked for that. I'm really late with that, mainly because I've been trying to get... I spoke to you about it briefly, actually, offline. I've been trying to get a demo together so I could video it. I was going to video the demo and then put videos on the website and stuff, but I kind of decided against that, really, because it's really hard to get a decent set of demo data together, which isn't a big problem, because I can just spend more time on it to get that done. But also things are changing quite rapidly, and the last thing I want to do is have stuff on there which then gets out of date and I need to update it pretty quickly and that sort of thing. So I think I'm going to go with screenshots.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'll put some screenshots in, and then if people want a demo, they can come and see me.
You could always, could you not just record your next demo and perhaps cut bits out of it for certain bits of functionality and stuff?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I did think about that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. So I've got a demo next week. I'll probably do that then and see how it comes out.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad idea as well. I think we used to do this at Lightning Tools, is record each demo that you do, so it is a private demo, and then send them the link to it as well, so they can forward it, you know, to other people in their department if it's of interest and stuff.
That's a good idea too, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus then if you get a friendly customer or something, you can say, you know, do you mind if I, and it's a particularly good demo that goes well with good questions, you can always ask them if they mind if you share it with other people as well.
Yeah, because the demo that I give is based on test data. You know, it's not actually somebody's account. It's all constructed data rather than a real live account. So that would work fine.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that. That's good thinking. Thank you.
I'm sure what you know. The people who do these big launch events,
yeah,
are, like Amy Hoy and Brian Dean, who do the backlinko stuff. I'm sure what they do is they have their kind of main presentation recorded. And you think they're doing it live, because they've got like hundreds of people, they say, oh, we're going to leave the Q&A till the end. So they actually press play and go through the presentation, and then they just pop on at the end.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like 20 minutes Q&A. I'm sure that's what they do.
Well, that was Breck Palumbo. Remember the old Bootstrap with Kids podcast?
Yeah,
He talked about that with webinars.
I was thinking about them the other day, because it's still listed on my podcasting app on my phone.
Mm.
I wonder what those guys are up to now.
Yeah, it'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Just a one-off podcast update.
They should do just like a quarterly show or something.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I miss those guys.
Yeah.
So have you still been doing the cold outreach?
Yeah, well, like I said, I did a bit more cold calling, but I've kind of had to stop it because I've been spending a lot of time preparing other stuff, really. So one of the things that, again, we've spoken about briefly offline is I've decided to attend an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew about this childcare exhibition that's run sort of three times a year, I think. And I missed it earlier in the year because I was just so busy getting customer number two up and running and supporting that. But then it occurred to me the other day, and so I quickly had a look on the website, and the next one's in a couple of weeks. So I thought, do I, don't I? It's a difficult one because I've no real clear idea what percentage of their visitors would be potential customers for me. I've spoken to my customers, and they say it's the sort of thing they would go to. So there's a good chance there will be a good number of customers there, but it's not totally clear. So I was umming and ahhing about whether to do it, and I thought, well, let's just do it and go for it and see what happens. It wasn't very expensive in the grand scheme of things to exhibit there. Mm. So I've got a little booth with a 2 meter by 1 meter booth ready to go. Yeah, so I'll be doing that in a couple of weeks. So that's been taking up a fair bit of time preparing for that, because obviously I need to get business cards done, and I need to get a handout to have to be able to give to people. And I'm going to get one of those pull-up banners as well,
mm-hmm,
to stick at the back of the stand. So all in, I reckon it'll cost me about £1,000 to do that for 2 days, which...
That's quite reasonable, I think. I think from what we were saying to each other, that's compared to a Microsoft SharePoint event, that's really, really cheap.
So. Yeah. I think that there's nowhere near as many attendees as that sort of thing. But But the way I kind of think about it is that as long as I get to speak to a decent number of people, then any feedback is going to be useful. And if I can get sort of 3 or 4 customers out of it, then I'll count that as a success, I think.
I think it's good as well that you've got this deadline imposed on you now to get all this marketing material ready for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's good.
That stuff you can reuse, can't you, for other meetings in person, other networking events, those kind of things. So
that's right, yeah.
Rather than me and you having a chat and setting a false deadline that we're never likely to stick to. you've got to get that shit done this time.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, I'll be looking a right idiot for my £1,000. Yeah, no, absolutely. Because exactly, one of the things is that I've hired a designer to do these materials. And part of that is a logo. You know, it's going to be a basic logo, but it'll be a logo. And what falls out of that as well is color schemes and things. So it can all be then reused on the website. And so not just the materials that she's creating, but the sort of color schemes and everything can then be reused. So yeah, I think you're right. It's definitely worth doing.
Cool. So what date is that?
So it's the 17th and 18th of June.
Okay, exciting.
So yeah.
We've got another podcast in between, haven't we?
We have, yeah. There's one on the... we'll probably record it on the Thursday before. I'll be driving up there afternoon.
Yeah. You'll either be happy or be panicking because your leaflets haven't come through.
Well, I'm quite sure I'll be panicking, but there you go. That'll be good. It is a nightmare, though, because you kind of think, well, I want to get a leaflet, and I thought, well, I'll keep it simple. I'll just do like a sheet of A4 double-sided printing. And then I started investigating printers and stuff to get the thing printed. And I was like, ooh, I could get one that looks like that, or I could get one that looks like that. And it's so tempting to go down all these other routes about different folded kind of leaflets and all sorts of things. But then you add more cost, you know, the more you start to go down these different routes, the more cost you add. So I thought, no, stick with the A4 double-sided and that'll do.
Got to bootstrap this one, yeah. Don't put anything on the flyer or leaflet either that dates it, whether that's no. a specific date or a price either as well, because if those the price changes, then obviously that kind of outdates the leaflets. You can't use it again.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'm not gonna do that. I've been tried to be careful not to do that. So the other thing is how many to get printed as well. You know, I've got no idea how many people might come by and pick up a leaflet. So I'm thinking I'll probably get 250.
Well, they should tell you, shouldn't they? The conference people, how many people have registered?
Yes, they should. You're right. I'll ring them up and check. I think it's around sort of 2,000 people that they get. And not all of those are going to want a leaflet, you know. So I don't know. It's difficult. That's a good point. I'll get in touch with them and find out how many registered.
We should perhaps delay the podcast till the following Monday after your conference ends, so it's fresh in your mind and fresh to talk about.
That would be good, actually. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So we might be a bit late with the next podcast release, but...
We should still be able to get out on the Monday, the same day. That just might be the afternoon, I guess, rather than the morning.
Yeah, that should be fine.
Cool.
Excellent. So, what have you been up to?
Well, we had visitors. Our first visitors came down.
Oh, lovely.
My mum and younger brother came down, and then Fleming, who you know as well, came down for 4 days. We all know each other as well. Like, my mum and brother know Fleming, so the visits crossed over as well, which was quite nice. So we all got to catch up and go out. The weather's been good. The weather's really good today, actually.
Is it? It's not so good here.
Yeah, I know. I've been chatting on Skype to people in Reading and Gloucester. And yesterday was horrible weather, wasn't it, I think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's been really nice here both days.
Dear. Another advert for Bude.
but the problem is that, you know, it's nice outside. I'm stuck inside working, so don't feel that jealous at the moment.
Yeah, I guess that there is that, yeah. But then, you know, at the weekend, you can just nip out, go to the beach.
True, yeah. Yeah, so that's been good. It was good to catch up with Fleming. I had a few nice days out and evenings out. In fact, every evening out. We both kind of said to each other, because he was here for 4 nights, I think, and it's the first time we've done like 3 or 4 nights out in a row for a long, long time. So I think we were quite glad it was not over, if you don't, that sounds bad, but we could give our livers a little bit of a break after when he was going home. So
brilliant.
But the good news for you is that there's a fast train that comes down to, well, this direction. So leaving from Paddington, train takes 2 hours to get to St David's.
Wow.
And the only place it stops on that route is Reading. So literally you'd get on the train at Reading and it's an hour and a half for you then to St David.
That's amazing.
And then it would either be me picking you up, which is an hour and a quarter each way for me, or there's a bus you can get, which is about an hour and 45 minutes for you.
So, right, okay. That's not too bad, is it?
So it's quicker than driving, because, it is actually, it's probably about the same, actually. So driving would take about 3.5-4 hours, maybe.
Yeah. The good thing about the train, though, is that you can sit and work if you want to, don't you? So you don't lose any time. Yeah. If you travel on a work day, you don't lose any time.
Yeah.
That's definitely something to look at.
So, yeah, get in your calendar, book a week off for a few days and just come down and... yeah, it'd be good.
I'll have to. The trouble is getting that past Silvana, really, because she'd want to come as well.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I guess the problem would be, you can either stay at ours. We have got spare beds now. You can either stay at ours or...
be a bit much, I think, wouldn't it, with three of us?
There's B&Bs and stuff. Depends if you want to take your daughter out of school and do it at a cheaper time.
yeah, that is the other option, yeah. End up in the High Court like that fella did.
Yeah, but before I get onto work stuff, there's a real funny coincidence that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it shows how small the world can be. So I think it was Monday, Sophie was in the park with Isabel and Megan playing away on the climbing frame and all that kind of stuff. And she just started chatting to another mum, as mums generally do. And it turned out this lady was from Reading as well. She was from Tilehurst, probably not too far away from where our house currently is. And they had a mutual friend called Karen. And so they were chatting about that and how funny it was they knew each other.
Wow.
And so Sophie, it gets better. So Sophie came home and Claire added Sophie on Facebook. And Sophie hasn't, because we haven't, still haven't got broadband connected, which is another story altogether at the house. Sophie hasn't been on Facebook, but she used my phone yesterday, went on Facebook and accepted Claire as a friend. And because those two are friends, it then shows up on my profile. So I clicked on Claire's profile and she knew Helen, who is Gareth's missus.
Oh my God.
That I'm always talking about. And it turns out that Helen is Claire's second cousin.
This is just...
How weird is that?
That is freaky.
They moved down a year ago from Reading and yeah, so that's odd, isn't it?
That is really freaky.
I checked with Gareth this morning. I was like, does Helen know someone called Claire? Because they got the same surname. And I was like, well, just because they got the same surname, although it's not a very particularly common surname, they might not know each other.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it turns out they're second cousins. And yeah, so I said to Helen, this, I just checked with Helen on Facebook as well. I said, you know Claire, don't you? Sophie's bumped into her. And I was like, no, you got two reasons to visit Bude. That's well funny.
Classic. That is really amazing. Yeah, it's such a small world.
Yeah. But so yeah, they moved down to Bude a year ago after her parents moved down a year before that. And they live it down here as well. And they're planning on going back. So I think they bought down here as well. So.
Wow. So they're good people to speak to then about the experience of living there for a while.
Yes. And their daughter's called Isabel as well. Another coincidence.
Oh, God.
But there's lots of Isabels around, as we've found out.
Yeah. But wow, that's amazing.
But yeah, in terms of work, which we'll talk about at some point, my outreach Mondays have gone terribly badly.
Oh dear.
Firstly, because of Bank Holiday Monday, that's obviously not going to work.
Mm.
I guess secondly, because I've been working on the two sites to try and get finished, which I have now. So Kyle Potter's site is up and running and he should be putting his credit card details soon into Sendowl so I can bill him.
Are you using Sendowl, are you?
Yeah. So George, who you interviewed on here. Mm. So Stripe, I wanted to use rather than PayPal, because that seems to be the new cool thing to do. But Stripe doesn't provide you with a kind of a form to send people to. And eventually I want to get HTTPS set up on my site, but it's just it's a task that's way down the list at the moment.
Yeah.
So unless you have HTTPS on your site, SSL running on your site, you can't use Stripe. And so I was getting so angry that Stripe don't provide a form, because it doesn't make sense to me, even though there are third-party people like Sendowl. And so I'm using Sendowl, just set up a trial, and it works perfectly, but it's not going to be a long-term solution, because eventually I will get around to sorting out the SSL certificate, I think, on my site, so I can use Stripe directly.
Yeah.
Because it's another $40 to $60 I'm paying out to Sendowl, which I don't necessarily need to. I think Sendowl's more geared around to non-technical people who want to send out PDFs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The site and how it's all set up. You can do subscriptions, which is what I'm doing. But yeah, to save the money eventually, I'll probably get around to doing that. Mm. So that's good. The WordPress migration bit I did for Neil's site. But again, I can see this coming up again and again and again. The kind of part of the delay and stuff is waiting for people to get back to me with stuff.
Yeah.
So Kyle, for example, I'd email him some stuff and it's almost like he only does, I guess this is like maintenance work, like the productivity project book calls it, is for him, his marketing or maintenance work. He only seems to do on a Sunday evening. So if I did some stuff on his site on a Monday and I'd send an email through to him going, oh, I need a photo, I'd have to wait an entire week to get that photo back from him. And kind of the text to go with it and stuff like that. Then I put it on and quickly the Monday morning, and then I'd have to wait another week for like the next bit. So,
right.
Yeah. So I can see, so that's just the way it's going to be. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps some people have more urgency to get their site up and going anyway. But so the cold outreach I've been doing a little bit of the last couple of days, and I'm not as brave as you to do cold calling over the phone. So I've been sticking to email and Twitter and things like that for people who haven't got email addresses up at the moment. And it's a bit of frustrating as well, because I'm targeting golf pros that don't have websites. They're not actually easily contactable.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a site up with their email address. So it's a case of, you know, following them on Twitter and sending them a tweet or a message through Facebook or something.
That's precisely the reason why I considered this exhibition, really, is that a lot of the people I want to reach aren't necessarily online, you know, or there isn't one place where I can get to them. And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do that, is to meet people face to face. It seems to work much better when I get to speak to people face to face rather than any other way. So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, they do have kind of the London Golf Show, I think, is one of the golf shows in the UK and stuff like that. So maybe see how yours goes, and maybe that's a route I could possibly look at.
Mm. Another reason I decided to go for it was Adam Stylo, who we have interviewed on the podcast again in the past. Mm. He runs Crafty Clicks, and he, when he started out, he basically got a space at a conference last minute, and that's basically what kickstarted him in terms of getting customers. He had got a lot of customers and a lot of interest from that, and that's what kickstarted his business. And so I spoke to him about this exhibition before signing up for it as well, and he was pretty gung-ho about it, saying it's a good thing to do. So we'll see.
Hmm. I think from only 2 days of trying to do cold outreach emails and stuff, because in the current email I'm sending out is basically a pitch saying, you know, this is the stuff I've been doing for some golf pros, you know, is it the kind of thing that would interest you?
Hmm.
I don't want it to be a pitch straight away, so I am kind of working on some content that will be, you know, a drip email course type thing, so that I can send an email to these guys saying, hey, I put together this, you know, marketing course for golf professionals. Do you want to sign up for that? So that they then get, you know, 5 emails over the course of 2 weeks, and then a pitch at the end of that once they've hopefully read through the stuff and I've built up my credibility and stuff.
Mm.
So where we said, I think both of us said last week, our products will perhaps always be an outreach, cold outreach type thing, rather than people finding me through Google and self-signing up for the email marketing course, it will be something that I, you know, point them towards a bit more manually.
Right.
They sign up and then perhaps and hopefully go through that funnel then.
Mm.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. That's kind of my target for by the next podcast, really, is to get that all done and get it out and working. So we'll see.
Cool. That sounds good. Mm. Yeah, it's always changing, isn't it? It's funny, you come up with these objectives and then a couple of weeks later it's kind of just gone off track a little bit in a different direction, and I guess that's the path at the start. You have to keep adjusting as you go.
Mm. I kind of, like this morning, I was sat down with about thinking, well, there's 50 different marketing approaches I can take. So I kind of sat down with a bit of paper and just built out, I guess, a loose funnel, as I call it, and then a simple flow chart of the tasks I need to get done to actually be able to start passing people through that. So now I've got together a bit more of a plan in my head that I can start sending people through. It's just a work for me to do as well, because it's nothing more frustrating than sitting down at your computer each morning kind of knowing that you've got a million things you could do but not knowing exactly what to be working on.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that big time. Yeah, this whole document of features that I'm supposed to be getting together, you know, it was a great idea to do. Obviously a potential customer asked for it, so that's a good thing, good reason to do it in itself. But of course I was starting to think, well, it'd be good to repurpose for the website as well, and then this and then that, and I've kind of realized that I've turned it into a massive task now by trying to make it do lots of different things rather than just do it for this one customer, you know. So I think it's exactly the same thing as you say, you sit down and that cursor's blinking away at you and you've got all these tasks to do and you just don't know what to do. I think I'm just going to have to change that and just make that specific to that one potential customer. And then once I've done it for them and got it out, then I can look at it again and repurpose it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll never get it done. And it's been a week and a half already. So, yeah.
Mm. I did, it's the last work thing I've got. I did think of a naughty marketing tactic I could use.
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty evil, but...
Go on then.
So these... the golfers that I'm kind of contacting, like, you can tell if they haven't got a website set up because they don't have the URLs on their various social profiles. So the naughty marketing tactic, which I'm not going to do, I could go and register the domain for them ahead and then send them an email saying, hey, I've just registered mikesmithgolf.com. It's available for you to use as your website if you want to take up some kind of package or something.
Brilliant. That is classic.
It's a bit naughty, isn't it? But I think it kind of, well...
The only naughty thing about it is signing up the domain name. because if you did like put together a website for them, then that wouldn't be so bad. It's just that, you know, it's the domain name bit that is a bit naughty, I think.
You could even do that. You could put together the website, you know, take any images off their social profiles and say, hey, look, this is the website I put together for you. Do you want to sign up for X amount per month to keep it up, or I'll just take it down?
Yeah. Do you know, because it's funny you say it's evil, but I've thought about something similar. I've thought about doing something similar in terms of setting up a sort of test site for a club based on the whatever I can find out about them. And it might not be 100% right, but if they get to see their own name and you know, something that's booking on their club automatically already there, that would be a good sell. You know, that could be the demo sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think it was, you know, the Just Eat advertise on television and stuff.
Yes.
That you order takeaways through. So I think it was them or someone like them that did something related to this, where they created subdomain restaurant pages for all the restaurants that were kind of in an area without telling the restaurants. And so they were like, for our local curry place in Reading, they were ranking above what the curry place was. So you'd order through Brilliant. Just Eat rather than ringing up the local curry place. And obviously Just Eat would get their commission for sending through the order.
Yes, that's quite good, isn't it?
Because how I found out about this is I was looking for the curry place and the phone number, and I come across the Just Eat site, had the phone number on, and so I tried ringing in, it didn't connect or something like that. So I decided just to drive down to the curry place and put the order through in person there and then wait and take it home. And I said, your phone number's not working on your website. And the bloke was like, what do you mean? And I showed him on the phone, and he was like, this isn't our website. And it wasn't until I looked at the subdomain or something like that that we kind of twigged and like, wow, it's bloody naughty.
Yeah. Naughty but good, isn't it?
So maybe I'll do that, try that for a couple of, or maybe just one. I don't know. We'll see.
It's difficult, isn't it? I guess if you're just doing it as a way of showing it's like a customized demo, isn't it, really? And if you're just doing it as a way of showing your potential customer, it's only naughty if their customers start to use it, I think.
I guess the safer way to do it would be to do it as a subdomain of my website. So it would be, say, don't know, jamesbondgolf.golf.io.
Yeah.
Send them that link, because I wouldn't have to pay £10 or whatever to register each .com domain then either. Mm. So I can say, you know, if you do decide to take up this, then I'll register the domain name for you. That might be a lot better way of doing it, actually. There you go. I've got a new marketing tactic. God damn it. I was going to go with my drip marketing campaign, and now I've got this.
51 now.
That's probably a good word, because that's where the cold outreach emails would do well, isn't it? Because they've got an actual...
They've got something to click.
I imagine a lot of people are going to read these emails, and they just bin them. But if they've actually got something to click on and look at, and they see it as being their website that they take ownership of, then that's a kind of different thing altogether.
See, I'm now thinking that when I go to this exhibition, if I talk to anybody that could be a potential customer, I'll just say to them straight away, look, I'll set you up as a test account and you can have a look yourself.
Mm.
I mean, which I could probably do that anyway, actually, because that's kind of the next step after they've had a demo.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Love it.
Right, that's all my work stuff.
Yeah, I've not got any more work stuff, really. I've got some stuff.
I have too. You go first.
Well, people may have seen this already. I might just be behind the curve with my absence from Facebook and Twitter for so long. But I use a Bootstrap template, and I think you do as well. There's a couple of things I saw somebody post about Bootstrap. Called plugins, I think. I'm not sure what they're actually called, but one of them is called bootstraptour.com, and that's for onboarding.
Mm.
So it basically pops up the little sort of bubbles with next and previous buttons to guide you through different UI elements and stuff, and that's obviously free. It's part of Bootstrap. It doesn't look particularly designery, you know, the fairly basic sort of Bootstrap looking pop-ups and stuff, but it's good for free, you know. It looks really good, so I think that's worth looking at. I'll put that in the show notes. And the other one is Bootstrap Switch, which is basically turning your checkboxes and radio buttons into toggle switches.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's looks quite good. It's quite a nice sort of user interface. So, yeah.
Excellent.
That's that. What's your stuff?
My two things are... So I've been thinking about building this app for ages. You know when you've been thinking about building an app for ages and then suddenly you find out that someone's already done it? And it's actually a feeling of relief because you don't have to go ahead and do it yourself.
Yeah.
So same old story that I moan about, you know, been sitting at a desk slouched over it for so long, my body's slowly creaking and back issues and so on and so forth. So what I wanted an app to do was, it's almost like the Pomodoro technique. So, and you can use this whole system for that as well. So I wanted my phone or my watch or whatever to buzz every 20 to 30 minutes telling me to get up and either walk around or, for me, do some stretching,
yeah,
or some squats or lunges or press-ups or something like that. And so there's an app called Stand Up, and it's got an exclamation mark at the end of that as well. And what it does, you can set the time period. It's an app for your phone. You can set, so between, for example, on Monday to Friday, between 9 and 6 or whenever you want it to do, alert me every 30 minutes. And then every 30 minutes it will go ding, and you can say, yes, I'm going to stand up, or, you know, leave me alone for the next 60 minutes or so on like that.
Right.
And so rather than just standing up and going for a walk around, I use that alert to do some stretching, whether that's, you know, hamstrings, back, do a bit of strength work, whether it is push-ups or lunges or squats or anything like that. And so, yeah, that's
cool.
It.
That sounds good.
It's really, really good. You should try it out.
Yeah, excellent.
And, of course, you can use that period as well as a Pomodoro as well. So, you know, if you are trying to focus every 20 minutes and have a quick break, then obviously that system works for that, or it's the same system, I guess, really. So.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Very good.
So there's that. And then I watched on Thursday evening, no, Tuesday evening, sorry, today's Thursday, there was a program repeated that was on about a week earlier, I think, called The Truth About Alcohol on BBC.
Oh, right.
And it was really, really good, actually. So they did lots of
sounds scary. I don't think I want to watch that.
You know, things where they get a doctor and they try and run scientific experiments to see whether something proves to be, you know, a myth or fact or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so they did various experiments. So why some people get drunk quicker than others, what's behind red wine's healthy reputation, does a nightcap help you sleep, does lining your stomach work, and does alcohol make you eat more, which we know true is that one is definitely true. So I'd watch it. It's good. But the best bit was really kind of discussion around the guidance that the government gave out in January about cutting the number of units per week that males drink,
right?
Which came down from 21, I think, wasn't it, to set to 14, which is the same as what the guidance for women as well.
Yeah,
and that works out as about 7 pints a week. And so I've been drinking a lot more than that, like probably 14 units per night every day of the week, nearly.
Oh dear.
Not quite that bad. But the program was really, really interesting, and I've decided to try and stick to that 14 units per week guidance.
Oh, right.
Which is about seven pints a week. So it should be doable, shouldn't it? Unless you have a big night out, which obviously you can blow through your unit budget in an hour or two.
Yeah.
And it should be possible.
Yeah, it should be, definitely. I mean, I think I could cope with that. My only downfall is darts night on a Tuesday.
But you say you always try and stick to your 4-pint limit for that, don't you?
I do.
So that gives you another 3 pints for the rest of the week. So
that's not too bad, yeah. That's probably doable.
And the reason for cutting or changing the limit, or the suggested limit, was obviously people know about issues with drinking alcohol and, you know, liver cirrhosis and so on.
Mm.
It's more the link between alcohol and cancer that made them change the limit. And so by either sticking to this lower limit or trying to, it puts you in like the lowest risk category for many types of cancer. So,
oh, right, okay.
Can't be cutting down on alcohol can help on many facets of life, can't it? So I'm going to try and stick to it, and we'll see how we go on.
It is evil, isn't it, really? But it's also so good.
Like I said, the interesting bit was at the end with the chief medical officer, and it was the doctor chap who was chatting away to her, and he kind of said to her, you like a glass of wine, is this going to change what you do? And she goes, no, I'm still going to drink wine, but it's obviously stick to within these guidelines. So the thing that I struggled with previously is I've kind of gone for the teetotal approach rather than trying to cut down, is just not drink at all.
Yeah,
but then your social life suffers, doesn't it? Because everything a lot of stuff in the UK is based around getting together at a pub or networking events and so on.
Yeah, it is. Mm. Yeah,
So it's tricky. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'll report on the next podcast whether I've stuck to my 14 units for 2 weeks.
That'll be good, yeah. So. I think I probably naturally stick to that, actually. I'm just trying to think. I'm not even sure if I get to that most weeks. Yeah. But anyway, no, that'd be good.
Awesome. So that's me done.
Yeah, that's me done. So I guess that's it. Enjoy your sunny weather in Bude.
I will. I've got to go home now and take Isabel to the playground. So
oh, lovely.
Yes. And so the next time we speak, you'll have done your conference.
Yeah, I will. That'll be interesting. Yeah.
Excellent.
I will probably be frazzled, I can imagine.
I will keep an eye on Twitter to see if you give us some updates on how it's going and stuff.
Yep, I'll try my best.
Fantastic. Well, as well, also, if people have any ideas for you as well about, you know, how to make a more successful conference who are listening to this, I'm sure there's some other people who've done similar things. So by all means, get in touch with Martin and give your ideas.
That would be very much appreciated, actually. Yeah, definitely. Great.
All right.
All right. I'll speak to you soon then.
Okay. Cheers, Martin.
Cheers, Nick.